Welcome to GamerCast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is episode 51, recorded on the 3rd of December 2006.
It's nearly Christmas.
More importantly, 5 days to Wii.
Oh yes, 5 days till the Wii has been launched in the UK. And hang on a second, I need a calculator to work out how long till the PlayStation 3 is out. A
couple of years.
2007, March.
You know what? Wasn't it spring 2006?
Or wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was. They actually got to the point where it was November. We're releasing that it's in November, and then they don't. To be honest, I think we ought to really go big for the PlayStation 3. Uber big. We'll get some banners and we'll go stand outside computer game stores on release date saying no more PlayStation 2 and start chanting as people are buying them. I hope they don't have the problem with people queuing outside for days.
I think the trouble with that is, who cares?
Exactly. It's going to be funny to see what happens in this country with the PlayStation 3.
I mean, let's quickly bring up the sales figures now. Man, here we go. Xbox 360, 7.9 million units sold. Nintendo Wii, 1.1 million units sold. PlayStation 3, 0.3 million units sold.
It says it all.
Game over, man.
Yeah, game over.
Okay, a few housekeeping notes. We didn't have any letters this week.
Mm-hmm. And why was that, people? Come on, talk to us.
Well, we had a bit of stuff going on in the forums, but I can't be bothered to read all that. Letters can be left on the blog at gamercast.net. You can send audio letters. This is something I really want to stress. Audio letters!
Yes. Send us audio letters and we will play them.
Yeah, the only one we've had is from like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but we don't really think it was him. We think it was like someone impersonating him.
Yeah.
So we're not sure, man.
But don't feel like you have to do something silly like that. Just a normal, either a question, or you want to just say, I've got this game, it really rocks. Have you guys tried it yet? And we need something to discuss. We want something to get.
If it wasn't for me being the responsible GamerCast researcher that I am, our show notes would only be half that size.
Probably less.
Yeah, it'd probably just be review of blah blah blah. Another thing, we're going to be launching a new segment soon, which is basically user-submitted reviews of games.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be an audio review of a game you've played or whatever. If it's say 2 or 3 minutes long, that's ideal. I mean, we don't particularly want to have an hour-long review.
Yeah, just quick thoughts about it.
This is GamerCast, and you have to listen to us, not someone else.
But yeah, if you've got a new game and we haven't mentioned it or something, or even an old game, it's like you pick this game up out of the old box of PC games, you reinstalled it, and you're like, oh my god, I've never played this that long, and I was like, I just threw it aside, got some new games, like, this is good, it's old, but it's good. You know, anything. You just want to say your 10 cents on something that's out at the moment. Even if it's just like you bought like a third-party controller and you think, wow, this is really good for the price it is, and you want to do a review on that, then by all means. Review on whatever.
Indeed. So you can submit those in audio letters as well, in WAV, MP3, or WMA formats to feedback@gamercast.net. There's no limit on the size of email we can receive there, so please don't send us a 10 gigabyte email, but don't worry about if it's like 10 megs or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't particularly want to download like 10 gigs of stuff over email.
Not good. Definitely not
good. Well, I just delete it from the server, but it's still annoying.
Yeah.
Another thing, iTunes. I actually installed iTunes on my virtual machine because I didn't want to let it loose on my main system.
Dun dun dun!
And I noticed we don't have any user reviews.
Yeah. So I know some. Well, we know who lists. Well, not who, but we know percentage wise who listens from.
Yeah, about 40% of our listeners use iTunes.
So please leave a review.
Leave a review, spread the word, get everyone else to sign up so we can take over the world.
Conquer. Conquer by we.
No, just take over the world, not do this stupid Conquer game. Live and Cups. It could have been so much better, man.
Oh yeah, so much better. What were Rare thinking?
Well, the single player is good.
Oh yeah.
But the multiplayer, I mean, come on.
Never make a first person with a rubbish multiplayer.
Exactly.
Because I must admit, I still cannot get over Gears of War dropping or out with co-op for Greg's sake. It just, it is so the old classic penny arcade sort of thing. You know, you go in, shoving some 20p's and stuff, and you're playing Street Fighter Turbo, and the fact someone could shove in some more money, and they're in.
Indeed.
So, no, I'm pleased with that. But right, so yes, reviews be brilliant, be nice.
So yeah, audio letters and user submitted reviews are the things we're going to do. A segment each week with like a review,
mm-hmm.
in it, assuming someone submits them.
As well,
I've already said on the forums, portalforums.net, we've got a thread going on there of people who are like interested in it. And, you know,
well, that's good.
Hopefully, I mentioned it a couple of days back, so hopefully by next week we'll have some stuff.
That's good.
Because we did used to have like reviews on the website, like done by
Charlotte
and Random Architecture as well.
Yeah, putting their own ones on.
We sort of stopped doing that because.
Yeah,
because this is like Gamercast.
They were, with the way the Gamercast has gone now, with shorter versions of what they were doing, it's easier for us to just put them in during the show instead of them being something extra to download. So, nice. No, it's a good idea. Right, next.
Well, what now? Show notes? Should we just plow in?
Yeah, let's plow in.
Plow
and
in,
then,
go
and
hardcore.
Stretch it out as we
okay,
go.
Okay, I actually did some research, like I said, this week, because this is the new improved Gamercast.
Mm-hmm.
Where we actually have stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, obviously the PS3 launch hasn't gone terribly well, as we already covered.
Like with the guy running into the flagpole.
And Sony have shifted some people around. They've moved Ken Kutaragi upstairs, so he no longer has a hands-on role, like a day-to-day hands-on role at Sony Computer Entertainment. Game. Yeah, so he's no longer actively hands-on guy with PlayStation anymore.
Right.
Which I think is a good move, because Ken Kutaragi is notoriously... What's the word I need?
Stubborn?
I don't say stubborn, I'd say a fanboy.
Right, he loves the PlayStation too much that he just can't see its own faults.
Exactly. Take when the PSP had the fault with the square button. And he said, oh, design perfection, that way it's supposed to be. And you know, just what? It's faulty. Replace the unit.
Mm.
So yeah, Kutaragi's been moved on a bit. And what's also interesting is the guy they've got replacing him is Kaz Hira, or I don't know how to pronounce
it. Hira.
Hira.
Kaz Hira.
And he comes from a more software background. And he's the guy replacing, like, you know, hands-on dude for PlayStation and stuff. So a lot of people are speculating that Sony are going to be moving into a software.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I wouldn't be surprised to go the way of Sega and move down into a software era. But the thing is, though, how many PlayStation software-made games are there out there? There aren't that many. They haven't dominated the market much. You look at Sega. Now, Sega, before they even got off the Mega Drive, they were making Sega-specific games. They always have been, with Sonic the Hedgehog and so on and so forth. They were pushing it the same level as Nintendo were pushing the games out, because at the end of the day, both of those were competing at the beginning of what you would
That's
say
the beginning of
the console,
history.
Yeah, the console wars. So, it to be honest, they knew where it was at, and they knew that it was just a console they had to drop back. It wasn't like they had to step up many gears to carry on what they're doing. They just had more time to pay attention to the games than having to make the games and a console for it to run on. Now they don't have to try and design, well, how are we going to make this game, because we're also trying to design what we're going to make the console and how the game would, the level of what the game could be made to, because they're doing both. For now, it's kind of like, well, we're making something for the 360. Well, Microsoft decided the rules of how we're going to make the game and what's going to be available to us through the dev pack. So their life is easier, and they can get on and make some great games. Now, Sony, it seems like they're going to have to step up a large space to actually...
Exactly. Nobody would actually buy a Sony game. Although, I suppose some people would buy... what's it called? God of War. That was quite popular. I didn't really see what the fuss was about personally. They've got the license on F1.
Yeah. Majority of their licenses are on the massive multiplayer PC games like Matrix, Star Wars.
Yeah.
All their licensing for game software is on there. So unless they're going to push more towards maybe PC, this sort of area that they're on, you know, they've still got that department. So maybe they're going to push and branch out a little bit more there, which they're doing all right there. It's not the PlayStation. It's something completely different. So that might be a success for them. And to be honest, it keep them out of our hair.
Also, on a related note, one analyst said he can't imagine PlayStation 4 being done. This guy is Yuta Sakurai. Pronunciation probably wrong.
Yeah.
Believes the PS3 will be Sony's last console. And he sees the, you know, shuffle of being Sega-like in nature.
So it's not like we're just looking at it and thinking, oh, just because that guy's software, that's where they're going. This is actually stated that an analyst is saying that this looks like this is it for Sony.
I mean, it's the Nintendo Wii outsold PlayStation 3 4-1 now.
Yeah.
And it's due to launch in Europe Friday.
It's going to be a big
another loss. 500,000 units there.
It's like talking to a few people and they're kind of like, they don't think you're going to be that big. It's going to be a fad. It's not going to last too long. But to be honest,
it's got momentum.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the third party games, but it's got momentum.
I think once you start getting a lot of people that are like, if the PlayStation 3 is not that big,
it is big. It's bigger than the Xbox One.
You know what I mean? Developers.
You saw Kutaragi holding it up. He was, you know, struggling to hold it.
They're not going to feel like they're going to want to put their software on PlayStation 3 as much soon. So all they've got to deal with is graphics interface for 360, and then they can back off from the graphics and pay more to the interface with the animation, the control system for the controller. Because the thing is, it's the first time that any developers have had to deal with this. Nintendo have been playing with it for a long time because they've kept it under wraps. The people at Activision were doing Marvel Ultimate Alliance. They said that they've had large amounts of fun trying to get this controller to do stuff. Originally, it wasn't actually doing a large amount of stuff, and they brought it further and further and further. I wouldn't be surprised. You're going to get a lot of developers doing the same thing as they did with the DS, where they felt a little bit hard to keep going with a stylus. The stylus was hard to program for at first because they were not used to it. So they kept falling back onto the D-pad and the A, B, X, Y buttons. But a lot of companies now are finding that they've finally got the hang of programming for it and finding that the opportunities are much wider of game design. And I wouldn't be surprised, the same thing will happen with the Wii, that at first they'll rely heavily on the nunchuck for the analog stick.
Nunchuck.
But eventually it's going to get to the point where it'll be more the hands-on system and being able to program the animations to be more precise and to be more maneuvers. The new Dragon Ball Z game that's coming out, they've kept...
I knew you couldn't go an episode without mentioning Dragon Ball Z.
Exactly. The maneuvers in there, as well as the fact that they decided not to do lots of maneuvers for all the actions. It's a lot of button stuff and then a little bit of hand gestures, like you shake your hands to jump forwards and stuff. But it's like some of the gestures for superpowers.
Superpowers.
For special moves, the gestures are exactly the same as the character would be doing. So it gives you a sense of feel of like that whole, whoa, I'm doing it myself sort of thing. So I can see Nintendo are going to be pushing this like crazy. And with it being the Wii, unlike the DS, they're going to be pushing a lot more games that will be using the controller to its full ability. So I imagine everybody else is going to follow suit and realize all we got to do is push hard on a good game, but a good game with a great system with the controller and using it to its full ability, it's an instant success. So I think it's going to be good, especially after next year, because if you look at the difference between the quality of games on the 360 compared to the original launch release and then what followed upon Christmas, if you look at what's out since the new set of software has been coming out since beginning of October all the way up to what's be out by Christmas. You look at Gears of War and then
Viva Panata.
Yeah. You know, it's...
You can't beat that. Seriously.
You hit it with a stick and you nick all the candy goodness.
No way, man. You build a nice garden paradise for them to live in, and then they come in from the wild and live.
You gonna get it?
No. I saw Pete playing it for like hours the other night though.
Yeah.
Shopping Tub is playing Viva Pinata.
Oh dear.
Okay.
Whatever floods your boat. But no, good, as we're designed, good game.
I mean, speaking about the whole, you know, Wii thing, if you read my blog the other day, which I know you probably don't.
I haven't been on the net for a day or two.
Well, on my blog, I actually had a video up comparing PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Nintendo Wii, showing the graphics in Call of Duty 3. And guess who wins?
360?
Yes. Guess who doesn't win?
PlayStation 3?
Spot on.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The Wii looks a lot better than I was expecting, but the PlayStation 3, it just looks washed out. It looks really bad.
Do you remember when we made up our own GameCube pod with the old TV? Do you remember?
Yeah.
When I was full time, I was there all the time. Ooh, that is a big difference.
There's the Wii. So the Wii doesn't look as good, but it's not as bad as I was expecting. It just looks so. There's no detail on the guy's face or anything with the PS3 version. PS3 in the middle.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah.
360 version.
I think the big thing about it is the Wii is saying, look, we have limitations. Let's make it look as good as it possibly can with those limitations. And I think it's going to work.
PlayStation 3 version, oh man. Well, yeah, let's have a look at some of the comments people have left. I am the Lord Hitman says, I'd say the 360 version looks best, but only part of the time, most likely due to YouTube. The Wii looks like crap. Lol. It doesn't. It looks better than I was expecting. Mike says PS3 does look rather washed out, but not much you can tell from a YouTube video. And says the main problem is it not coming out on the PC. Kajit says on GameTraders.com they've got high definition version instead, so probably best to watch that. And One Man Army says the 360 and Wii looks decent, the PS3 looks pure shite, if you ask me. So yeah, I think the Wii's you know, come off quite well. I mean, it doesn't look anywhere near as good as the others, but
right, do you playable. Remember, like I was saying, remember back we had the GameCube.
GameCube.
And we actually
Super Monkey Ball.
We had Spider-Man out, multi-release. And we had it on Xbox, PlayStation 2.
PlayStation 2 games, oh man.
And it was out on GameCube, and the PlayStation 2 looked absolutely awful. The refresh rate just did not match. It just looked all bitty. And you looked at the GameCube one, and it was smooth. Now, fair enough, the Xbox had the edge, but it was like, ooh, what's that? Oh,
saving that for a minute.
Yeah. So no, I must admit, the good thing about the game, like with the GameCube and
the GameCube was powerful. Not as powerful as the Xbox, but a lot powerful than the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, that's a good chip work in there with the Gecko. Because who's doing the chip for the Wii? Is it still
ATI?
Yeah, ATI. So, you know, they're a good team. They should be doing something good.
Well, yeah, NVIDIA did manage to annoy quite a few people in the last console round.
Because the other good thing I like about it is the fact that it's not as powerful, so you're not going to get this. You know, the Wii's going to come out and it's not going to have any issues about overheating or anything like that. No issues, but it was fixed rather quickly. To be honest, with having a Blu-ray laser, I can see that thing bloody melting. Can see a melting disc if you're not careful. If a disc is being used too much, overheating and stuff.
Well, yeah, because Blu-ray discs warp.
Mm.
Next item, or are you still going to talk about the Wii and stuff? Which you've been doing for like 10 minutes.
No, go on to the next one.
Okay, Halo 3 beta entry begins tomorrow.
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. That's going to be...
So basically what they're doing is they're releasing a 60-second live-action, you know, CG pre-rendered video type thing tomorrow. At what time? Well, I think it'll be early Tuesday morning for the UK.
Yeah. Also released a 60-second ad for the game will be aired sometime between 10 to 6 p.m. and 20 minutes past 6.
That's Pacific Standard Time. So it'll be, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning here-ish. But yeah, they'll be, you know, starting the beta entry thing tomorrow as well. And we've got a screenshot there. Woohoo.
Ooh.
That's pre-rendered. Pre-rendered with in-game assets. But yeah, the new trailer they're doing is all pre-rendered. Like, I think we covered that on a previous episode, didn't we?
Mm.
Yeah, I think it was on the last episode or the episode before. Okay, so other items in the news. If you live near Cardiff, that's in the United Kingdom, for those people outside the United Kingdom, they have a Wii Pod in the game store in Cardiff.
Now, there are two game stores. I wouldn't be surprised it's on the one on Queen Street. That's the larger one in comparison to the...
That's the one with the two floors, isn't it?
No, the one with the two floors actually got closed down and was moved down the bottom... there was two games. There was the one that was the original game, and then there was one that was the EB. The one that was EB is in the mall. The one that was game was at the entrance to the mall. So you passed it when you went through the doors into the mall on the high street. Now, the street that that entrance is on is Queen Street. Now, the game one that was originally there was two levels and was originally a game always, has been moved down the road further up and has all been done out like all the other games, and the one inside has been kept. But the one inside is quite a small and compact place. I would say at about the same sort of room as our old place. So I would say I wouldn't be surprised if it's the main one on Queen Street. Main one on
Princess Street is in Yeovil.
Exactly, I got confusing. The main one on Queen Street. So go check it out if you live nearby.
Yeah, because we don't have a Wii Pod here, which sucks.
Mm.
Also in the news, Sony have been, you know, swinging their battle axe around.
Oh yeah.
Legal warning for PlayStation 3 importers. A top law firm has told MCV that any profits made from importing the PS3s could prove insignificant compared to the huge legal costs if Sony were to throw the book at them.
As we've already noticed, as
we covered with the whole Lixang issue.
Yeah, there's another website that's like Lixang called Toys and Joys, where you can buy imported video games, consoles, old video games, old consoles, and an array of cosplay and memorabilia for anime and cartoons and stuff like that. They have announced that they still will do like their normal imported things as usual, but one thing they've changed is that the pink PSP and the PlayStation 3 will not be shipped out of the US. So you can still buy it, but you'll have to mail it to somewhere in the US and go get it yourself, just to get around this thing. So
Sony are acting like a bunch of spoiled brats.
Yeah, and they make a big deal about it on the website that this is down to Sony, not them, because of legal reasons. So,
also in the news, if you cast your mind back, I don't know, it was a year or so ago, wasn't it? Sony were bashing pre-owned.
Yes.
I think we covered that in an episode of GamerCast as well.
We've
been, you know, doing it so long that we've covered like the whole gaming history on GamerCast.
Yeah.
Well, now UK development legend David Braben, I think that's how you pronounce his name, has entered the second-hand games debate, attacking some retail outlets for having an aura of a jumble sale. His comments come in an exclusive interview with MCV sister magazine Develop, which talks to the Frontier development boss about his upcoming titles, Thrillville and The Outsider, plus the challenges that face independent studios. He says, "There are plenty of obstacles to overcome to achieve respectability," he said. One worrying aspect is the retailers. Most do a good job in a difficult climate, but with some, there is an aura of a jumble sell. Pre-owned games in dog-eared packaging and, you know, bargain bins are a problem. Not only for their sales, generally not recorded in the charts, but they further reduce the shelf life of new games, and so on.
Yeah, I think the problem is the idea of being able to get in on a quick trade-in or bring it back and stuff like that.
Well, the thing is, the developer doesn't get any money from that sale.
Yeah, once it's been sold the first time, that is it.
So the game can be sold 10 times and the developer gets paid for one transaction.
Exactly. The other thing about
shelf... So they do have a point, but, you know, you don't come out and attack it.
The other thing that I think is what they're saying is causing a problem is the fact that because people can buy it, play it, and as soon as they've had enough, they won't keep it and just try more. They're like, well, I've got my money's worth. I can't be asked anymore. I'm bored of it. Instead of keeping it waiting for a rainy day when they can play on it again, they use it as credit to get the next game. But the problem is sometimes people are, instead of willing to wait and save, they're buying someone who had the money, old game, back from the company. So they're getting something cheap, second hand, but like you said, the developer is not getting those people's money who really want the game but are quite happy to wait for it for second hand.
Exactly. One thing he mentions in the interview is, I don't see why the games industry cannot move to a genuine rental as with the video industry, where a full rental copy costs significantly more than a retail copy and have done with it. That's a good point.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, take there are several retailers in the UK who just go overboard with pre-owned.
Mm.
And, you know, most of the store is just pre-owned, and it's like, most of it's shoddy quality, and, you know, there's just mountains and mountains of the stuff.
Just imagine if, say, for argument's sake, we take Game.
Game?
For argument's sake.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I was referring to.
Say they did something and they decided to go down the alley like Blockbuster, and they go, right, we're not going to do pre-own anymore. But what they'll do is they're going to buy a selection of the games for each store, which will be rental. And you get a membership and you use it and you rent the games. So it's like Blockbuster. You can go to Blockbuster and you can rent all Xbox, PlayStation 2 and...
such and such.
Yeah, 360, whatever. And you can also rent the consoles themselves. Now, if they had something like that, I still think they're making a large amount of money. The amount of people that come in and they're like, you know, if you could go into Game and, like, before you know it, you're walking out with a Xbox 360 and a couple of games on rental and bringing it back. You know, they'd make an extreme amount of money. You know, you go in there and you rent the game first, rent for 2 days, you play it, you bring it back, and then you're like, yeah, can I have a proper copy, please?
Exactly. I think rental would do the industry a lot of good.
Mm.
Because just today, for example, there was someone after LEGO Star Wars 1 on PS2, and it's only like £10 new anyway. And, oh, I want a pre-owned copy.
Mm.
You know, first, I want a pre-owned copy because I don't want to pay the extra £2 and give the developer like £4 he wouldn't normally have.
Yeah, it is annoying. One,
I would not like to be a developer trying to balance his books where you've got retailers which are recklessly damaging yourselves.
There's only one thing I like about pre-owned, and it's the only reason I use pre-owned.
Use pre-owned? You are the problem.
When you're looking for...
We need to abolish this Adam creature.
When you're trying to get hold of a piece of software...
He is the spawn of the gaming industry.
When you're trying to get hold of a piece of software that no organization sell anymore, new.
Where's?
So, it's that point when you're trying to get hold of an old game, and it's just pure luck. Some guy has this whole old game for ages and decides, I'm getting rid of my Xbox One, and he trades it in, and you find it, and you're like, oh my god, I've been looking for this for ages, and you get hold of the old stock. That is, you know, I like that. But then again, if you're keeping a large amount of old games in stock that nobody can buy because it's rental, you know, eventually if people stop renting it, and you're just like, you're the only person renting it, and the numbers go down, then it goes into a bin and they sell it on as a cheaper version.
Catherine corrects me and informs me that LEGO Star Wars is £15, not £10. Okay, well, what I was getting at was it's cheap. But I mean, there's that side of the argument, or there's my socialist sort of leanings coming in, which says, how can you sell a game? Copy the game, give it around for free. You know, the state pays a developer to make a game. The developer makes a game, everyone shares the game. That's the ideal way it's done. Not through some dodgy free market which can't supply people with the games they want. People who wanted LEGO Star Wars, they couldn't have it because the free market was unable to supply what they wanted, just like the PS3. Like, six people want it and they can only make four.
Well, just imagine if a games company that produces a lot of software, because I know some you can buy them, but as easy as it is to go on play.com or Amazon and buy some software, right? Say for argument's sake, Capcom have their own website and they will deliver to anywhere in the world at a cheaper price on the internet, and you can go on and buy any old game or new game of theirs, or any developer, and instead of having to deal with the in-between man, you can go straight to the developer and buy your game hot off the press.
Thanks for putting me out of a job.
But you see what I mean, you know, it could easily be done, but they don't want to. They're quite happy to use the next man on to do all the hard work to push the game and get it all out there. They don't have to deal with the public to get that, because they want, not everybody wants to have that internet shopping yet. They still need it there on the shelf.
Well, back in the good old days in the Soviet Union, you don't have to worry about that. You've got a friend who has the game, just copy the game. There are no, like, you don't protect software. It's owned by everybody. You know, there's no such thing as intellectual property rights, because ideas are the property of all of society.
So if someone programs something, everybody's allowed access to the code to enjoy having what was created by the people of that.
Take Tetris, for example. Tetris came out of the Moscow Computer Science Institute, or something similar, I can't remember the exact name. They all get paid for doing their stuff. But the stuff they produce is the property of everyone. Now, people always say when it comes to capitalism, "Oh, you own your own idea." Not if you work for a company, you don't. That idea goes to that company for them to sell.
Yeah, it's your
job.
Now,
what's better?
You go in and you work in.
You get paid 40 quid a day, no matter what, to come up with ideas. They then sell those ideas.
You work in a cheese factory, or you work in a sandwich place.
Well, I wouldn't really compare a cheese factory to a Moscow computer science center.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you work in somewhere where you're making something like that, you don't own that sandwich. It goes into a thing and gets sold somewhere.
Exactly.
You don't care about
what
it.
What you produce is the property of someone else for them to sell. That's called capitalism, boys and girls, and Adam.
You know, you go in, for those people, they expect that you go in, you do your thing, that's it.
Catherine says you can buy games directly from Ubisoft.
Cool.
Not that I would buy anything from them, not with their Star Force protection.
Yeah. I must admit, a lot of them still do that, but it's the ease. If you had something that was easy as
Play.com. Well, the ease would be the overthrow of bourgeois society and the establishment of socialism. So that games and ideas, intellectual property, you know, things that can be copied easily, are free.
Yeah.
You know, we out of our taxes pay the developer or the people to make those ideas, and it's just done with it. You know, the state level, we don't have to worry about it. And like now, where you've got to like go into a shop and buy something, no, you've got to go into a shop, hope they have it in stock. You know, just get your friend and copy it. The revolution, comrades. That's where it's at. Speaking of revolution, it was the Cuban 50th anniversary of when Fidel Castro and Che Guevara and all that landed.
Really?
Yeah, that was yesterday. And today is the Venezuelan elections, when they're voting if they want to continue the revolution or not.
Oh.
And of course they're going to vote yes.
And also, next on the news.
Hang on, we're covering politics now.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Next in the news, the Xbox 360 is also a year old.
Ooh.
A year old yesterday. Hey, same as the Cuban Revolution.
It shares its birthday now.
Well, I should point out, it's not the Cuban. It's the beginning of the guerrilla war to start the Cuban Revolution.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been a year gone.
A year of Xbox 360. Yeah, thank you for Catherine for pointing that out to us, because I had totally forgot.
Yeah. Well, we've already gone over a year of GamerCast, and we started with being a bit hyped up for the 360 for it coming out, and
now we're just hyped up about Cuba.
But it's come a long way. I must admit, the interface has changed a lot. I've noticed difference since the big change from looking at your Xbox 360. They've moved on a lot more, changed a lot more stuff. And that thing I always said at the beginning, that it's customizable. If they don't get it right the first time...
Which they did.
Yeah. But they were like, well, we had all these ideas, but we didn't implement them. And they were kind of like, we're working on them. We're like, we want to see what you guys think. Because, like, you know, they said that advert, it's like... we'll only do so much, the rest of it's for you. Well, that's the thing, they've got the input of what people are saying.
Yeah, we don't want to pay developers to do the work, you can do the work for us.
We don't quite like this isn't working, lots of people complain about that. It's like, fine, get the boys on it, we rewrite it, it's a download, it's changed. Any new Xbox 360s change their automatic opening software stats. And, you know, I like the fact that before, apart from, like, because Microsoft do this with PC now, it's a standard thing with their Windows and all their other apps. But for consoles, for the ability of knowing that if someone comes up with a really good idea after the launch date, you don't have to wait God knows how many years to the next console.
You don't have to wait 5 years and cough up £300 for a new console.
That you hope that they might still remember to do this idea. Now they can implement it in. And we have seen that so much with this console now. It is really pushing to the idea of thinking, really, they're not going to want to make another Xbox console for a little bit longer than normal, because this one is adaptable. It can adapt and roll with the punches for long enough that it'll have a longer lifespan.
So it's the first one.
Yeah, I must admit, the first one had a hell of a long lifespan.
And well, no, not really.
For a console, because the lifespans have been getting shorter every generation, because the money's there to be able to jump.
Well, not with Sony's disaster of a console.
Oh, God, yeah.
So yeah, Xbox 360 is a year old, so happy birthday, Xbox 360.
Yeah.
If you want to give us a game, like Microsoft, if they want to hand out games to celebrate this, we're more than welcome to accept the games.
And we'll review it.
If they're lucky.
Yeah.
Unless it's Viva Pinata, where we just say, wow, this game is really cool. Full stop.
I killed a pinata.
Okay, you've got a review now.
Yes.
You've got a gadget review.
It is my new O2... How do you pronounce that? Because I just...
XDA exec.
XDA exec.
My exec new for, like, executive.
My new phone. Upgraded onto O2 contract. It is similar design to Paul's.
Hang on. No, it's not.
Okay, yours is the phone design.
Mine is more of a classical pocket PC, only with a slide-out keyboard.
Mm.
Yours is more like a tablet PC.
Yeah, a mini tablet PC, if you were.
Which is really a pocket PC, because it fits in your pocket. Hence the name, pocket PC.
Hence why it sat in my pocket.
Yeah, get it out, man.
But no, I must admit, I am extremely thrilled with it. As soon as I got it out of the box, I was well happy.
Case is too fat.
Liking the fact that you do provide a case. They provided a case, extra stylus, two-headed headphones. So
two-headed headphones.
You know,
what's that?
Two-eared piece headphones. So instead of it just being a one headphone for page, you know, the hands-free sort of thing. It's two ears, so you can use it to listen to your MP3s on it and stuff. Weight, it's not too bad compared to. Yeah.
Compared to mine, it is heavier, but then it's bigger and stuff.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like you're... Whoa, it feels balanced, because I'm assuming yours is balanced as well. It doesn't feel like you're top heavy.
It doesn't feel like you're going to drop it or anything.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's wobbling around. It feels like it's well balanced. I must admit, I did look, when I was talking to you originally, when I came up with the idea of wanting to have one of these, from looking at the Jazz Jar on Dabs, when it was like £700, I'm like, whoa, I'm not paying that. I've had a look on a lot of the other contract people, like Orange and Vodafone, at what they've used as a design for theirs, and I must admit the O2 one is the nicest looking one.
O2 stuff generally looks nicer.
Yeah. The only thing that I will...
I mean, even the O2 logo is a bit annoying. I mean, you take Vodafone, look how cheesy that logo is.
you got the O and you got the 2, and it's, you know, O2, it's, you know, oxygen. So you look at it and you can just think oxygen. You don't have to think Vodafone, or you're not getting orange jammed in your face.
If you speak any more good things about O2, we will have to charge O2.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about it was the fact that it came with all the O2 software on, which crashed it constantly. As soon as I got that all uninstalled.
Paul's top tip, install it in corporate mode, or install it, because basically when I turned mine on, it had three options: personal, which had all the O2 junk, corporate, which had minimal O2 junk, or no O2 junk.
Mm. I eventually got mine off manually, and ever since I've been happy, because it had the O2 active and I accidentally clicked on it by accident.
Big mistake. And it
opened up the browser thing and made all my thing. Oh, it was awful. I near enough had that cold feeling in my heart, like, you've done something you know you shouldn't have. It took me a while to get it off.
We can always do a hard reset.
To know, I was pleased with it. It, unlike yours, it doesn't come with a docking station, but then it is.
Leave it in mind. That's, I bought that extra.
I don't know if it does have a docking station. To be honest, with the way that it actually sits, because it can sit open keyboard.
You can probably buy one.
I'm quite happy to have it sat on the side with a cable plugged in the back.
If you check out Motorco or another website, they probably, you know.
Yeah, I do have something for it.
Have you tried any games on it yet?
No, I haven't actually tried any games yet. Let's just power it up. Stylus, I like. I was pleased with it.
The stylus is nice. It's better than mine.
The only thing is, my favourite stylus are the click ones, where you push them a bit further in, and it goes click click, and then it shoots out.
Then you've got a spring mechanism.
Yeah. Now, fair enough, that's there to be damaged, but you know that it's never going to come out unless it gets click click. Although once I did accidentally have in my old pocket PC, I got the click click and it fired it out of my pocket, and I found my pen on the floor, and I was like, "Ooh, someone's dropped a pen like mine," and then I realised it was mine from my Cyan, Cyan 5. When
old
I had
school.
Yeah, God, that's a while ago. Old school Cyan 5.
Okay, so we're reviewing this on GamerCast, but you've not played any games.
No, I've got basically Bubble Breaker and Solitaire. What did you get with yours? Same?
Probably the same.
Yeah. Let's just open Solitaire. Classic look.
It's got VGA screen, which is good.
Moves really nicely. So, you know, it's cool. Slides about quite nicely, actually.
Look, don't just play that, okay? You're supposed to be doing a review.
I wanted to do what you do, where you switch off and start playing video game.
Hey, man.
Programs, what it comes up with. You've got your standard calculator, the camera, lots of other devices, download agents, enroller. It's got Excel mobile, PowerPoint mobile, and Word mobile with its...
Which is extremely useful for compiling GamerCast.
Yeah, which is the main reason I got it, so I can start getting GamerCast ready, and also Noob Hunter comic. Pocket MSN, which I've yet to use.
The
wireless modem, which allows you to use this as a modem connection up.
Yeah, don't do that. It's too expensive.
Yeah. But these features are here. If money's no object, then there's lots of stuff that this thing...
It's 3G enabled, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it 3G in this area? Have you got a 3G SIM?
Yeah, it'll as soon as I get into the thing, I can 3G, and it will come up with the video thing, so I can do video calling. One thing that I did like about this, because of the way that it curves around and stuff, and say for argument's sake I open up media player and I'm playing a video, if I wanted to have it open so that I've got the keyboard out, if I want the keyboard closed but I want to have it in a landscape, I can actually click on it and I can spin it around, or if I wanted to have it that way.
Yeah, it's called rotation.
Yes,
unless you rotate the screen. So what would you give out of 10, considering you've not actually played any games on it yet?
Not played any games on it yet, but
we can soon sort that out for you.
As far as a system, you know, it is mobile PC. I am majorly impressed. I must admit,
I'm impressed. I was expecting it to be a lot more bulky.
Yeah, I must admit, you've always been a bit wary of this one compared to the one that you went for, which you've always been majorly happy with. I must admit,
the Mini S.
The advantage to yours is the fact that you can use it more like a phone with a greater ease. in compared to mine. The only thing that I did like about it, which I was actually bothered by, is the fact that the speaker is inside with the screen. So I know from my previous phone of having a big screen, you get the whole mucky where your cheek is rubbing against it. The only thing that I do like is the fact that if you know that you're going to be speaking to someone and it's the last person you called or you do the voice activating, there is another speaker on the outside, so you can just hold it closed.
What they really need to do is put a screen on the outside as well, just like a small LCD screen.
Yeah, some very old school mobile phone sort of thing, with a few little buttons to just scroll up through your contact list and just hit call. Just real simple mobile phone, that would have been quite nice, so you could just use
it. Have you tried out a voice command on it yet?
What, for saying something, can it go?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing it, and also with the Bluetooth.
It comes to voice command.
Voice command?
The full software suit.
Really?
Does it? That's what I'm asking you.
Oh, I haven't gone into the software too much. It's got the voice command in the sense of you hold it down and it goes, do-do-do, and then I'll go home. And then I'll hear a recording of my voice.
I mean a full voice control over like everything. So if you say, what track is this? It will tell you what, it will actually speak to you what track it's playing and stuff like that.
Not too sure. If it has it, I haven't found it yet. But I haven't looked into this too much because I didn't have very long to play on it after I'd gone through the 8-hour charging period. Runs off SD, which is quite nice. Nice interface with PC. Also, the fact is, I can have this here. I'm like, go out, and I'm writing some stuff down, and I'm like, ooh, that's something cool. Saving it on. I can shove it onto the SD card, come over here into the side of the monitor. We got it off. I take a picture, and I'm like, that is really cool, and I want to send it to my friend. It's like, oh, but they don't have a really cool PC. It's his dad's PC. He doesn't get on it. He's got a Wii, though. So I just shove the SD card into the front of the Wii, and I email it through the Wii system. So the interface for that is quite nice. But
okay, so out of 10?
I would have to go with a temporary one on this one because I haven't played with it long enough. I may change my mind. But at the moment, I am incredibly happy. It's met all expectations and gone past. So I'm probably going to have to say at least 9.5 on this.
Well, when we get you sorted out with some cool software.
Yeah.
Because
this has not been hooked up to the PC. I haven't got through all that process yet because they're going to install the software. And I also want to do what you've done where I hook up, like what we have for Gamercast, Outlook Express, all hooked up with my email account that I normally have.
You use Outlook or Outlook Express?
I don't know, whatever. I don't know which one I'm using yet.
Pocket PCs will only sync with Outlook.
Well, I'll be using Outlook then. It comes with the software and everything. I must admit, the box is really nice. Did your box slide out one way and out the other?
My box is like all funky and everything.
Yeah, it's an amazing concept. They're using a clear piece of plastic, using a leverage system, so when you pull one, it's pulling the other box out, which I took me a while to figure it out because I pulled off one and I'm like trying to open it. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I've got to take the other one off. And I'm like pulling, all of a sudden they both move at the same time. I'm like, did I just do that? So I pulled them all right. And there it is, just sat in a tiny little pocket. And it's like a James Bond thing. It's like, and you unfold it, and then you pull out the little box. It's got the accessories in.
It's like a James Bond thing, only it's branded O2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, James Bond does have a Sony Ericsson. Oh, why do they keep paying money to be on the James Bond film? Stupid bloody phones. Awful things. Although I like the fact that the only classic James Bond gadget he had was this watch. But it has no lasers. All it is exactly the same as my watch. He doesn't do anything. No gadgets.
How boring.
Realistic.
You'd at least expect like one of those, you know.
Oh, pulls a chainsaw out and the thing spins around and he cuts it.
That's nice.
Yeah. I must admit, I was extremely pleased with it. It's going to help me a lot because memory and stuff, putting down all the dates and things like that. And it's a nice pocket PC with phone
billing.
Okay,
so Adam considers the O2 XDA exec to be good.
Very good.
Okay, well that's all our show notes. Anything else?
No, apart from this Friday, Wii is out, like I said. I will be picking up mine. Don't know what we're doing. I don't know if I'm bringing it over here for Gamercast, so we're not going to bother, and I'll just talk about it and I'll start ramping and raving and do some quick reviews on what I played so far. I've got off the Monday through to the next Friday off work, so I'm going to be recording some videos of me playing with the Wii and showing you some of the stuff that it does, and then they'll be put on. But again, we're not going to be doing all the bandwidth thing again like Gamercast TV. This is Gamercast Live, so if you want to watch these videos, they will only be on the live show, so only the guys that come in and tune in will be able to watch me jumping around the living room playing tennis like a nutcase.
Indeed. So I think that's it for episode 51.
Yes, it is.
So I'll just recap some of our stuff. iTunes reviews. Do an iTunes review for us because we've got zero.
Yeah. Support Gamercast. Support your Gamercast.
Yeah, we've got links for subscribing on iTunes and all that on the webpage. So if you've got any of your friends to subscribe, do that, please. Letters, feedback at gamercast.net. Leave feedback on the blog itself, gamercast.net. We've got the forums, portalforums.net, where you can like argue with Khajiit and a bunch of other people and me. Also accepting mini reviews. So if you do a review of a game, an audio review of a game for like 2 or 3 minutes, we can play it on the show as well.
Mm-hmm. We'd be much appreciated, especially if there's something that we haven't talked about, or we've talked about it, we said our view and you don't agree with it and you want to say what you think about it.
Exactly. I will play Sony fanboy comments on this show.
Yeah, if, you know, if you are a Sony fanboy.
But I reserve the right to tear into them the second they've stopped.
Oh yeah, damn bloody right. This show's completely opinionated. Factual, but opinionated.
Yeah, our opinions are based on fact. You know, people say, oh, it's just your opinion. No, it's my opinion based on fact. Hard fact.
We found it all on the internet.
Yeah, man, we saw it on YouTube. It must be real.
Yeah, if it's on YouTube. Because YouTube's owned by Google, so they never lie.
Oh, there was a video of some guy doing, like, chi. He was, like, you know, it was blatantly fake. He had, like, a narrow alleyway sort of thing. It had a table in it. The table had a tablecloth over it. Immediate clue, immediate thing that suggests is there's someone under the table. And on the table there was like blocks, like bricks and concrete blocks. And he was doing all this chi, funky Buddhist moving around stuff in the background and making the stuff fall over.
Yeah.
And that must be real, man.
Yeah.
There can't be a guy under the table knocking his stuff over. It must be real. It's on YouTube.
That type of martial art trick does work. But
it does work, but only when you actually touch the brick and knock it over.
The movement that doesn't involve touching the object is a training thing that they do in China, but the object they're hitting that they move is a candle, and they only hit the flame. So it's the action there puts the flame out. That's all they do. They don't do anything that actually makes a brick move. That's, you know, you've watched that in films, you know.
Well, I'll show you the video because it's hilarious. You can actually see the guy's finger sticking out through the table to knock the block over.
Really?
Yeah, it's like so. And like, there are like so many people saying, oh, this is real, blah, blah, and it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't believe everything you see on YouTube like Adam does.
I don't. I just watch all the old episodes of X-Men.
X-Men? Yeah, that's real, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's it.
That is it for episode 51. We will see you on episode 52 next week.
Yep. After the Wii is out, so go get to your Wiis. And we want to know, that's it, we want, if you can, it's okay if you can't, we'll wait until the week after, but if you can get any reviews on your Wii, if you're getting one, much appreciated. We want to know what everyone thinks about their Wii after the launch.
Okay, you finished?
Yeah.
Good. Later.